Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Will here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. And Joe, before we go any further and dive deeper into the Titans conversation, I do want to pass along just our thoughts and prayers with our good friend Chase McCabe, losing his father over the weekend. A tough loss for Chase. Really cool yesterday to see the big Chuck parlay hit, which is Chase's dad. The Raiders, the Cowboys, the Titans all hit on the money line yesterday. So some really cool stuff on that front. But just our thoughts and prayers with our good friend Chase McCabe.
Yeah, glad you said that. No doubt feeling for you, Chase. And I did notice that yesterday he tweeted about that, those three teams winning. And earlier in the day he said, you know, switching to just, you know, being a fan for the Titans, hoping they win for my dad. But Chase, I know a lot of people loved his dad. You saw a lot of reaction to that, from people around Nashville. So, you know, thinking of that family.
Absolutely. So our thoughts and prayers will continue to be with Chase and his family as they go through this time. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And, Joe, we've talked about it a little bit, but a really good day from Julio Jones yesterday. Six catches, 128 yards, including a 51-yarder in there as well. Had a touchdown, in my opinion, taken off the board yesterday from Julio Jones as well. But even with that play not being included in there, Julio Jones with some good catches yesterday, getting open pretty consistently, but also some really tough contested catches as well. I thought it was an excellent response in week two from Julio Jones. He looked like the Julio Jones that we've seen in this league for a long time yesterday for the Titans against Seattle.
He did. Now, first few possessions, it was still really – neither of those guys were getting targeted. Yeah. And we're like, gosh, is this the plan? Just use them as decoys in the first quarter of games. But there was one play, and Tannehill talked about this after the game, where, you know, he was pretty well covered, but Tannehill put it in the spot where it's just a go get it ball. And he did. And you're like, oh, okay. There's where he's a little different. And then the 51 yarder. I think any questions about his speed, you know, which I didn't really get after the first week. I didn't watch the first week and think he looked slow or bad. He didn't do much, you know, different reasons for that. But you can see the speed. You can see the length, the power. I mean, he's still a guy. So ends up with 8 targets, 6 for 128, like you said. You know, AJ Brown ends up with 9 targets and 3 catches.
Yeah.
But 17 targets between those guys, that's about what it should be. And it's going to be different week to week. I feel like, in particular, like Arizona, it seemed to me that they were a little bit more shading toward giving Julio more attention, and AJ had more opportunities. And now after this week, I mean, people have got to be looking at film of this game. You know, the Colts, who, by the way, are 0-2, almost got gifted a win by the Rams. But now Wentz is hurt. They're coming in here 0-2. But then and future teams are going to be looking at this Titans offense and just wonder, like, what do you try to take away? But I still think the answer will come back to, at some point, if Derrick Henry is going to do Derrick Henry things to you, man, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And Julio Jones, I mean, he to me looked like the guy that you went and traded for yesterday. Like, a game like yesterday is why you go out and get Julio Jones, because he is just such a problem for opposing defenses when he's on. And look, it's 1 week. I'm not saying that Julio Jones is going to have 130 yards receiving every week, because I think we know he's not in this offense based on just the way games are going to unfold and the way defenses are going to have to choose to defend the Titans. But yesterday kind of proved to me that Julio Jones has still got a lot left in the tank. And, you know, I said it last week, obviously the offense was awful against Arizona, and Julio Jones didn't have a great day, but it was really difficult for me to judge anything about Julio Jones in that game based on the protection I said it last week, my expectations for Julio Jones in this offense have not changed and will not change this year. He, to me, is going to be a vital part of this group. And yesterday, I think the first example we saw in a Titans uniform of what a dominant game from Julio Jones can look like.
So I asked Mike Vrabel about Julio Jones, you know, just what he thought of all the playmaking and things like that. And I don't know if you saw this. Did you see this?
I don't think
answer
so.
Answer from Vrabel? Okay. Well, I actually want to see if I can maybe read it because I immediately thought of you. So I asked him about the plays and things like that, of course. And he said, here's a Vrabel quote, "He played really hard without the ball in his hand. I noticed a few times him blocking. That was something we made an emphasis on. That's what I'm most proud of. I know they're going to catch passes, score touchdowns, but we ask a lot of those guys on how they play when they don't have the football in their hands. That's probably what I'm most proud of with this performance today." End quote. So there you go. Julio Jones, like Corey Davis, is a blocking receiver.
Yes.
So he does it all.
Yes, he does.
Get excited, Robbie Stanley.
Well, I'm glad the Titans were able to replace that in this offense. They bring in Julio to did a really good job blocking yesterday. Also caught there a few balls go. Down the field.
Yes. You got, well, hey, I mean, we joked, but really talked about earlier the Derrick Henry touchdown. Just enough. I mean, A.J. Brown gets just enough of Jamal Adams and makes it possible. Some of these runs, although Derrick Henry gets the credit and the glory, as he should, there is always more that goes into that. So, it was interesting, too. You know, Julio was talking to us yesterday, and Derrick Henry is waiting his turn, you know, kind of gives him a little bit of, you know, Bama built, you know, and then they sort of shake hands like, "Thank you, Julio. Thank you, Derrick." But, man, I guess it's just good for college football that, like, they didn't actually play together, you know. But what a ridiculous collection of talent.
Yeah, it was just Julio playing with Mark Ingram. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The Heisman winner.
And Trent Richardson, who I actually thought was going to be a great pro. So, yeah.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe texting in. Titans finally got some momentum late. Much needed win to turn it around from last week. Julio had a nice day. Who's going to be the hero for this offense next week? I think that could be the interesting question. Maybe it's A.J. Brown next week. That's the beautiful part about this Titans offense. There's a lot of options when it comes to who the hero can be.
Well, to that point, since I'm in the I'm struggling for words right now. It's harder even when you're trying to talk quietly. Well, never mind. The quote is not there. But Julio had a long quote about A.J. Brown, too, yesterday. You know, asked about, you know, basically, and I forget who asked him, but asked about the idea that, you know, A.J. Brown kind of, you know, has looked up to you. You guys have had this relationship. You know, what do you say to him? And Julio was just like, yeah,
he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. Yeah. Vrabel said, "There's no one I trust more on this team." You know, he's like, "There's some people I trust as much as A.J. Brown, but there's no one I trust more than A.J. Brown." So, I don't know, did you see A.J.'s tweet? He had a funny tweet about it.
Yeah, A.J.'s tweet was, quote, "Someone from my family told me I wouldn't have caught COVID today if I tried to. LMAO." So, A.J. Brown having a little fun yesterday after the game. It's much easier to joke about those things than a win, Joe Rexroad.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, Julio said one game doesn't define him. One play doesn't. He's a great talent, great player. He'll be a great player in this league for a long time. Been doing this 11 years. They come and go, these games, right? You know, some drops last year here and there, and A.J. Brown didn't like hearing about it. Certainly, you want to bounce back from that. But that's the thing. Like, if you're the Colts or whatever, it's like, oh, so they had this crazy comeback win, and they got things rolling, and one of their best players is also ticked off and wants to, like, atone for last week. So that's good.
It's good. It's something to really look forward to if you're the Colts on that front. I thought Julio, and you brought up the blocking, in all seriousness, it was one of those plays where, you know, we brought up the Chester Rogers play in overtime where the ball bounces off his shoulder and pops up to the air. And on the replay, they showed that. And now that I knew the ball was going to hit the ground, I didn't really care about the drop. He knew it was the drop, and Chester Rogers took his eye off the ball. But I looked up in the same shot, and Julio Jones is just digging into two defenders for Seattle and driving them back. And I was like, wow, Julio Jones is giving it to him on that play in the blocking game. So pretty good to see on that front.
Yeah, I mean, he's a competitor too, you know. So he talked – it was, you know, Vrabel said this at halftime, that he said this at halftime, like, you know, talk about – let's just stop talking about the identity. Let's go do it, basically. Now, Julio Jones had a lot to say Friday after practice about, again, being asked these questions, but just about atoning for last week. And, you know, he had a quote that was sort of like, you know, the only person who stops me is myself, and things like that. And it was like, coming off last week, it's like, oh, all right, well, we'll see. Well, there you go. Looks like he's healthy, running well, and he's a playmaker. And we've had some text on the text line, which I agree with. I mean, I think within all of this, you have to, again, look at Todd Downing and say, you know, that was an example of using your playmakers, putting them in good positions to make plays. I mean, it's a huge part of this still. And so maybe they kind of figured something out. Tannehill said yesterday, you know, you could feel, I use this quote in my column, you could feel the synergy, you know, in the field. Like, you could kind of see it kind of coming together. And
yep.
I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, given all the time missed and all the people hurt and missing and all that stuff, that it might take them, you know, more than a game to get it going. But if they've got some things figured out now, they're going to be tough to deal with.
And you brought it up. Obviously, a lot of things going wrong in week one on the offensive side of the ball. But there was something in particular very encouraging to me yesterday, if you're a Titans fan, as they move forward on that side of the ball. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Also streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Wayne from Spring Hill texting in. By the last hour of the show, housekeeping will be knocking on Joe's door wanting him to leave. It could be. Joe out in Seattle, maybe there will be some interference from housekeeping in the last hour of the show.
Don't worry. I have the do not disturb sign on my door, so that should not be a problem. Now, me running out of the little coffee pods that they make in the room, that could be a problem. So we'll see. I'm trying to ration my caffeine here.
You're doing a great job so far, Rex Road, being a people's champion today out in Seattle. What time is it in Seattle right now? 5:18 in the morning?
5:18. So, you know, I still feel like I should probably try to talk in the Dr. Frazier Crane voice this hour, probably. And again, tell Seahawks, Seattle, hello, Seattle. Do not worry. Your football team will be just fine. It was a wonderful day yesterday. The fans were great. Pete Carroll was excited coming off the field, trying to pump everybody up.
Yeah.
You know, things happen in the NFL. You're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine, Seattle. And maybe in the 6 o'clock hour, 6 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah.
I can crank up the volume a little bit.
Maybe so.
I know. Is that fair?
I think it's
like,
fair.
Is is that still a little bit rough on like a neighbor who would want to sleep until like 7 or 8? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I don't think you're going to be like standing up against the wall screaming into their room. So hopefully there's a little bit of soundproof that goes on there.
I would hope so. But just in case, I feel like it's good to have a nice, calm, relaxing voice as we speak about the Titans and the Seahawks.
It's like a Joe Rex Road sleep app. We like it. It's good stuff.
Just turn it up for the Rex rant.
That's right. Yeah, just the Rex rant coming up at 7:45. We're going to have to bring the noise for that.
Well, the Rex rant will also be very gentle, and it will be very quick. And it's really just me laughing at someone. So there you go.
Looking forward to that. Do we think Callie Yarncroke was in the house yesterday for this this Titan Seahawks game? And who do we think he was rooting for, if so?
Boy, Callie. I didn't even think to try to find him.
Hanging out with Marshawn Lynch?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. And yeah, has he already switched allegiances? I'm seeing a lot of Kraken stuff around town, by the way. A lot of Kraken stuff. People are very excited. Also, I put a video out yesterday. You can find at Joe Rex Road. As I was walking into the stadium, like one of the tailgates was blasting Hall and Oates, like a live performance of a Hall and Oates song. I was like, whoa, man, this is heavy duty. This is some intense stuff. I was very impressed.
That's right. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Corey texting in. Did you see how salty the halftime show was after the game? Boomer and Phil do not like running football teams. They were so hot that the Titans won. So glad we shut them up. Go Titans. I did not see the halftime show. I was watching other football.
They don't like.
Apparently Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms hate running the football. Not going to have fun watching the Titans then.
Well,
they run that ball.
I feel like Boomer should remember Icky Woods and James Brooks, and Phil Simms should remember Joe Morris. It's not all about the quarterbacks. To previous texture's point, though, I mean, it is like it's funny how in our market, like the quarterback gets like forgotten about all the time. He just threw for like 350.
Like, oh, there's Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill had some big runs, by the way, too.
He did
in that game yesterday, especially the one where he snuck out of there and broke the pocket and got a big first down. So,
couple of big plays by Tannehill on the ground, but I thought a really impressive response yesterday from Todd Downing. I thought for the most part he called a really good game. Now, like, you're never going to have a perfect game as an offensive coordinator, and I will admit the first couple of drives when they started running the ball on first down, I was like, all right, is this just going to be what it is as they continue to go through the entire season here? But, I mentioned the screen calls earlier to Derrick Henry. A couple of those hit pretty big yesterday for the Titans. The play action I thought was used beautifully yesterday. I just thought a really impressive response from Todd Downing. And, look, we ripped him a lot last week. I didn't think it was a very good week from Todd Downing in week one. There's been a lot of concern about Todd Downing based on his time as OC with the Raiders as well. I thought it was a pretty impressive response by him yesterday.
Well, very needed, because that noise was only going to get louder. Now, had overtime not gone well, and the maybe the Chester Rogers play pops into becomes a pick, right, or whatever. They don't win. Maybe it's not as, like, so many things look a little better, right, after a W. But I think even in that instance, by the end of that, by the time they get to overtime, I think Todd Downing had definitely responded well to his first week. And I agree, it was a good week. And again, play action is handy. Play action is handy whether you're succeeding with the run or not. And I think the Titans certainly went back to that as a bread and butter. And I like how he stuck with the run. I think eventually they got a little bit less predictable. I still think there's a lot of first down running that is not doing a lot, but they got a little bit less predictable. And then some just great calls, I thought, in the fourth quarter on those drive, especially on that drive to tie the game. I thought some really nice calls there, and mixing it up and reacting to the fact that you didn't have Lawan. You know how you protected a week earlier. You had some stuff to get the ball out of Tannehill's hands earlier. If they can figure out a way to shore up that protection as they move forward, then they can take more shots. But in the meantime, I thought they did a better job of getting the ball out.
Well, and it was interesting too, because some of this is play design, but some of it's just the attention that you're paying to other people if you're the defense. I mean, there were a couple plays where Michael Pruitt was wide open, or Jeff Swaim was wide open. I mean, Tommy Hudson had himself a catch yesterday as well. So you lose Anthony Firkser, he's not available for you yesterday. I thought the tight ends and the receiving game performed better than I thought they would without Firkser in there. Now, there were still some times in the blocking. I mean, Swaim got smoked and almost got Tannehill killed on a play yesterday where he fumbled the ball. So it wasn't perfect, yes. But I thought the tight ends in the absence of Firkser stepped up pretty nicely for the most part, especially in the receiving game yesterday.
Well, I agree, and also – again, you can kind of see where if you got a tight end who can really take advantage of some of these matchups, like I think Firkser will this year, That's promising. I still think, you know, Chester Rogers has been a nice slot guy in the first couple games, but what if you have a Josh Reynolds or a Marcus Johnson, someone who really can push a defense vertically on the field with Julio Jones and AJ Brown? What if you have a Darrington Evans on the field? And what he can do in space. The offense can actually get quite a bit better here. But I think it still starts up front. And that's still the, you know, the big question right now is Taylor Lewan out for a long time? If so, it's great to have Sombrilo play the way he did yesterday, but that still lowers, you know, the ceiling of the offense. It has to.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that asks, is Derrick Henry really that fast, or do 190-pound cornerbacks just not want to catch up to him? How did he run that guy on the 60-yard run who clearly had the corner on him? The answer to your question, yes, he is that fast. That's what makes him terrifying.
I mean, that's why it's just ridiculous, you know? Now, of course, you know, maybe Quandre Diggs. I mean, maybe at one point there's a – As he's trying to chase him down, maybe he's like, gosh, do I want to be Josh Norman right now?
The ghost of Josh Norman just flashes through his eyes.
So it didn't – I mean, I thought Derrick Henry was actually pretty nice on that play. He's like, you know what? I'll do as much as I need to do to just flick you off, and then we'll go score the touchdown. Rather than, like, he probably could have, like, just bounced him off the turf if he wanted to.
Did you see the Najee Harris stiff arm yesterday? It was very Derrick Henry-esque.
Go Steelers.
I did not.
No, yeah, just look up Najee Harris stiff arm. It was pretty gross.
Michelle, you know the Steelers lost, right?
Yeah, I know, Joe. I know they lost, and I said that just because it was force of habit.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to talk about that game. We're talking about the Titans with that great win right now.
I'm sorry. Sorry to bring it up.
The Bills also won, too. Totally lost that lock.
Bills looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, pretty good.
Let's go back to the text line. Well, there is Tua being out of the game. So,
well, somebody went 1-5 and pick him, and it was this guy.
That is correct.
4-6, baby.
We had to go 4-2.
4-2. 4-2.
But say, Michelle got 10 picks.
You know what I meant.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, now, can we do this consistently no matter who the opponent is? That's going to be the next challenge for Todd Downing in this offense. You feel like the tools are there to do it consistently? I think part of that answer is going to be, what does the health of your team look like at offensive line and at left tackle, specifically with Taylor Lewan, even though I thought for the most part Sombrilo did a pretty admirable job yesterday at left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the question, and that's the goal, and that's what they should do. They should do this consistently. They're going to play defenses that are not as good as Seattle's defense. I wouldn't call Seattle an elite defense, but it's a pretty good defense. You know, Seattle could use an upgraded corner, I would say. Other than that, I really like their defense. So some challenges, and again, 7 straight games with 3 sacks or more for that defense now, which is best in the NFL. They can get after you. And, of course, they got the chess piece in Jamal Adams. And, again, I mean, I'm like, so that guy's a safety?
Yeah.
He keeps lining up on the edge. Yeah, I mean, he's just everywhere. And they ended up just punking that defense. You know, 45 minutes of possession and 523 total yards. So, but you're right. Just like a week ago, we're wondering what is going on with these guys. Now, you know, can they sustain it? Can they beat Indy at home ever? Because that'll be a big theme as we move forward this week.
Justin from Nashville texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, who on Friday called Joe Rexroad the forever Lewan apologist. Justin says, Lewan just didn't want to let Joe down, so he pulled himself out of the game. He never got in the game to pull himself out of the game.
I guess pre-pulled himself out of the game. Yeah. You know, in all seriousness with Lewan, I mean, you know, I mean, he's far away from the press, but I have no idea, limping off the field. But looking at one picture that George Walker, the Tennessean, took, you know, a lot of concern. Now, granted, it could be a sprain, something minor, and it could be a short period of time and he could be back. I mean, gosh, you would hope that after all that work on a rehab, the first serious injury of his career, that you would not seriously hurt it. But that can happen, the non-contact injuries, of course, with the knee. So we'll see.
Andrew from Dover says, only 1,763 yards left to 2,000 for Derrick Henry. He's back on pace. Took him one game to get back on pace for 2,000. Good
He's
stuff.
He's on pace for 2040 right
That's
now.
That's right. Good stuff from Derrick Henry yesterday. When we come back, we'll switch gears, react to Vanderbilt and Tennessee over the weekend. We'll get back into the Titans coming up at 8 o'clock with Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Will here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A busy weekend of football. We've talked a lot about the Titans, but college football taking place over the weekend as well. And Joe, let's begin with a 56-0 win for the Vols against Tennessee Tech. An impressive performance by the defense. It sounds kind of crazy. I thought just kind of an okay performance by the offense, but they did score 56 points in the game against Tennessee Tech. You could kind of tell after the game, Josh Heupel's starting to get a little frustrated at these deep shots they're taking down the field, not connecting. Brought it up a couple of times on his own without being asked, and then, you know, there was a question being poised to, or phrased to him in a way basically saying, like, do you take any solace about the deep balls? At least you're drawing them up. And he right. was just like, no, no, I do not. Got to execute on those. So, you know, I'm not sure how much we learned about Tennessee on Saturday. Hendon Hooker played for basically three quarters in that game. Harrison Bailey, much to the delight of many Vols fans, finally got in the game after that. Quite frankly, I didn't think he looked very good in that game. But 56-0 win for the Vols. Obviously a bigger test starting this week against Florida, which we'll have a lot of time to talk about this week. But impressive showing by the defense. Some plays made by the offense, but I was kind of underwhelmed with the running game. Hendon Hooker ran the ball well. The backs, you know, both Tyon Evans and Jalen Wright, there wasn't a whole lot of room for them out there, and I think that's concerning if you're a Tennessee fan, not to be able to create room against an opponent like Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, but I think we're seeing, like you said, with Heupel, some frustration. Also, look, this is his thing. I mean, this is his career. It's built on, you know, finding, developing quarterbacks and putting them in this high-powered offense. And when you have gimmies that are just pitch and catch, I get the frustration, because coming up real soon here, you miss those and you have no chance. You have to hit those to have a chance in some of these games coming up. So I don't know what to think if Joe Milton's okay about what he'll do at quarterback. I mean, I guess some Vols fans are like, hey, Harrison Bailey had a completion, put him in there. But see, I even when I do like my yelling Vols fan voice, it has to be very quiet here in my hotel room in Seattle. I don't know what to think. Who the heck are they starting? Who are they starting Saturday?
I still kind of think that if Milton's healthy, they're going to start with him. And I think if he struggles, they'll move to Hooker pretty quickly. But I just think the upside, especially given the way Florida played on Saturday, and we'll see if that's what Florida is or if there's a letdown after that Alabama game. I was honestly pretty impressed with Florida on Saturday. I thought they were going to get punked in that game to start with. And, you know, it was 21-3 in the first quarter. And I was like, all right, well, this looks about like I thought it would. And Florida, to their credit, really responded and played well after that. But, you know, Hendon Hooker was okay on Saturday. He didn't do anything necessarily wrong. He did try to make this massive spin move and got absolutely lit up running the ball and fumbled the ball. But it's not like Hendon Hooker was terrible on Saturday or anything like that. I still watch Hendon Hooker play. I think he's the safer option. I just don't know that his upside gives you a real shot against a team like Florida.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if Milton is all good and can get all the reps, you know, can be out there for everything they're doing this week, I think that's probably the move. And I agree with you too. Like if you have a couple possessions and the Jover throws are sailing all over the yard in the swamp, then, you know, then make a switch. But I think you're right. It's just a little bit more potential to do big things with him. I thought Hooker was pretty good, and he hasn't necessarily done anything to lose a job. There was an overmatched opponent, and I think you wanted to see a little bit more from him to absolutely declare that they should make the switch when both guys are healthy. So that's – here we go, another week of asking quarterback questions. Josh Heupel and getting no response.
Yep, and I will say this, and I realize two of the three opponents – you can't take much from, and the other opponent was Pittsburgh. You lost the game and you gave up 41. So I don't feel great about this Tennessee defense. I will say, though, they compete and they play, I guess, more together than I thought they would. I mean, you know, I didn't learn anything necessarily about Tennessee's defense on Saturday because they were just so much more physically talented than the players at Tennessee Tech. But, you know, this is three games in a row now where Theo Jackson looked pretty good. I thought Alante Taylor looked good on Saturday. The middle linebacker is still the biggest question. But, you know, Byron Young on the field Saturday for Tennessee. You know, you've just got Tyler Barron coming off the edge as well. I think there are some pieces that Tennessee has defensively that if you can string together a couple of series, could do some damage against Florida. We're about to see, though, because I thought Emory Jones – other than a couple of decisions against Bama, played relatively well for the most part. And if he plays that way against Tennessee, they're in for a challenge on Saturday.
No, he was – I mean, he was getting booed, and then he was just unbelievable in the second half. Yeah. And the way they ran the ball – and, of course, when you have a quarterback run game like that, it makes it so much – it makes everything more effective. But I could not believe what I was seeing, the way that they were running the ball at Alabama up and down the field. So – I mean, one of the things this week is just hoping that there's a letdown and also that they're beat up playing Alabama. But Young and Barron, you know, moving forward, that's got to be lethal. And I think there's a lot of potential there.
And then on the west side of town here, Stanford gets a 41-23 win against Vanderbilt on Saturday. And, Joe, I called the shot on Friday. It was going to be tied at halftime. And I thought for about a five-minute stretch – that it was going to be tied at halftime. It's 14-14. Stanford kicks a field goal to make it 17-14. And then all of a sudden, just a series of mistakes, and Stanford blows the game open and ends up winning 41-23. I still think some positives to take away if you're Vanderbilt offensively with Ken Seals, but they've still got some work to do as a program this year.
I mean, that was just such a disastrous couple minutes at the end of the half where it just go in 17-14.
Yeah.
Don't throw the pick, punt, because then you have the pick, score, but then also then you have the punt and penalty and all this, and all of a sudden it's just a different game. Because, look, I love how they ran the ball. I still like – I mean, they were overwhelmed on defense at times. They were overmatched physically, but they still battled and I thought made some really good plays defensively, which is what they're going to have to do moving forward here. You know, Seals did some good things, made that mistake. It's not great that Raymond Davis was hurt in that game because he's looked really good. And now, of course, for them, I mean, it's tough week for the in-state SEC schools. You got Georgia coming in here. You got Tennessee going to Florida. And this is just one of those weeks that see if you can hang in at all and be competitive at all and then get out of the game okay. I mean, you know, I guess what is Georgia going to be like super mad because the game got canceled last year? I know some Georgia homer media is super mad about it, but again, look, if that Vanderbilt team that played Saturday night beats the crap out of the Vanderbilt team that lost to ETSU, so we are seeing improvement.
Yes, I don't think there's any question about that. When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant. We do it each and every Monday at 7:45. Joe Rex Rhodes Rant of the Week. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant, which we do each and every Monday at 7:45. Little Kokomo bringing us back in, a personal favorite of Joe Rex Road, really setting the mood from his hotel room out in Seattle, Washington. I know that just really fires you up at 5:47 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time out there, Joe Rex Road.
Well, it's kind of fitting. I'm on the West Coast. I'm here in Seattle, Washington, where, you know, life, they just take it a little bit easier out here. Yes, on the West Coast. So very nice. Thank you, Michelle, for the nice selection.
It's nice course, documentary Rex voice that Rex Rode is in at that point.
Porth texted us and said, I sound like I'm calling the Masters. So,
and now it's here. 16. Here's Tiger Woods.
Here's Nick Faldo. Look at those trousers.
Joe Rex Rode, what is your rant of the week? The Rex rant for Monday, September the 20th.
By the way, this is going to happen again when the Titans play the Rams, except that's a night game.
Oh, yeah. You could really be in for one that day.
A 4 a.m. Showtime after a night game. It might be an all-nighter, and then in L.A. trying to have this voice. So that should be really special.
Yes.
So in honor of the fact that, you know, I can't really yell or rant or anything. I mean, I think I'm trying to be responsible. I'm trying to be nice to my neighbors around me here in the hotel. I'm just going to say, just really quickly, that last week, Jared Stillman actually said the Titans regret signing Julio Jones. And I just really want to laugh about it. That is my Rex rant for the week. I am laughing. I am laughing.
Six catches, 128 God. Yards yesterday, including a touchdown taken off the board.
Casual.
Actually, even when he said it last week, Caroline Fenton and I basically laughed at him then.
Yes.
But now it's especially fantastic. So, Jared, thank you. My Rex rant is merely laughing at you, sir. Also, our account tweeted out the pregame show with Jared and Mark Howard. Jared saying he thinks this is going to be the 59-0 like the Patriots game. So it's amazing. Yes. I love you, Jared.
Some great stuff.
So I did think about that has got to be the hottest take from last week, right?
The Julio Jones stuff? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but are there any other things that we can think of? That were like, you know, I mean, there's legit stuff. The offensive line was terrible. They were terrible. Todd Downing, it's still a question. Is Todd Downing gonna maintain the level that Arthur Smith established? But are there anything else from last week you can think of that were just scorching takes that now look silly?
Well, I mean, a lot of the takes last week were also about Taylor Lewan, and it's hard to really take anything away from Taylor Lewan now that he did not play yesterday and hurt himself in warm-ups. Our buddy Hibbs has also put a link to a tweet from Jared yesterday on Twitter and telling you to attach this to your rant. And the tweet from Jared yesterday is, quote, A.J. Brown's drops are absolutely inexcusable. Put down Twitter and get on the jugs machine this week. I kind of like that one. That's good stuff from Jared there. Put down the Twitter machine, as Ed O would say, and get on the jugs machine.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's actually, well, that does bring up one of the, probably the next best one last week was the whole Taylor Lewan podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a bad player. Yeah. So, yeah, I love, like, whenever someone does something, this is a little different. I would agree that A.J. Brown maybe should just not get into Twitter beefs with media.
Yeah.
But that's pretty good, Hibbs. I mean, I think if I did a scroll through Jared's Twitter, maybe I'll do that right now, his tweets from the game yesterday, I might find something a little bit spicier than that.
Well, he said that, you know, he was worried about a 59-0 blowout, like a la New England style for the Titans yesterday. And look, I'm not going to sit here and act like I wasn't concerned that the Titans might get blown out yesterday based on the injury report. And it's Seattle. It's a home game. It's the first time they've been at home with fans in the building in 2 years. So, look, I mean, there were some ingredients there that I think were concerning. But the Julio stuff, that's what I just never got from last week. There's a lot of attention on Julio, and a lot of that came from the comments that Vrabel made, obviously. But how do you judge Julio Jones in week one against Arizona?
I don't know.
The quarterback was on his back the whole game, so I don't know how you judge anything on offense. Like, Derrick Henry had 58 yards in week one. Like, you judging Derrick Henry off of week one? Probably not.
Well, and I'll say this on Jared's behalf. He was not the only one. I mean, I heard Kaharski saying, like, he thought Julio was slow. And I'm like, on the pick that Tannehill threw, the Cardinals had good coverage on him, but I did not watch him and think, oh, boy, he's struggling to move. He's slow. I thought he looked fast. when he was out running around, but he didn't do much. So, yeah, there's that. And this is amazing as I go through these tweets. First of all, like the all caps, oh my God, they did it. Oh my God, I can't believe it. It's just amazing. But also, like the video of Mark Howard putting his face in his hands as Jared talks 59-0 is also really amazing. So my Rex rant is actually thanking Jared. I want to thank you, Jared.
Michelle pointing out this tweet from TD yesterday. Says, according to Next Gen Stats, Julio Jones hit a top speed of 20.9 miles per hour while running down the bomb that Ryan Tannehill threw him on the post for a 51-yard completion. So basically 21 miles an hour from Julio Jones catching that 51-yard pass. So I think he's going to be okay.
And I love those. I love that Next Gen MPH thing on players. But, yeah, usually I think the highest I've seen is maybe 23, something like that.
Super slow, right?
Yeah. They need – let's – I think once and for all, we'll see how it goes. He's going to have down weeks too. He's going to have a three-catch 19-yard week, and then we can go back to what's wrong with Julio. But I think now we can probably set aside the whole – like comparison of this to Clowney or Beasley, right?
Matt Duchene.
There you go. Matt Duchene. I kind of like that one. But you know, we'll see. But he still looks like he's a pretty good football player. Also, Bud Dupree so far. You know, I know he doesn't have the stats yet, but I thought he played pretty well yesterday. He did have one big hit of Wilson. I don't know what was going to happen on that play, but it might have been bad things to the Titans. Russell Wilson breaking the pocket and letting it fly, and Bud Dupree got to him. So even I think Bud Dupree has been pretty good, but eventually, you know, you're the high price free agent. Sure. You got to also register in the stat sheet at some point.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've got a texture that says, I saw the injury. I think Lawan hyperextended his leg. I don't know if he could have played, but I watched Giannis score 50 in the playoffs the day after his leg bending away a leg shouldn't bend. So, I don't want to play doctor on the radio. I have no clue what Taylor Lewan has done to his lower body and what the injury he sustained was. I will say, even if it is a hyperextension, playing offensive line and the physical contact in the NFL is much different than the NBA.
Yeah, and the Giannis thing was amazing. It really was. But, yeah, you look at the what you are doing on the field. And again, coming off an ACL tear and months of rehab for a 300-pound plus human, you don't play. No one would let you play.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dennis texting in. Last week, Jared was asking on Twitter, how long until Julio Jones becomes a problem? And does Vrabel already regret signing Julio?
So amazing. I love it.
Andrew from Dover texting in, Julio got robbed of that touchdown. My brother-in-law is a Seahawks fan and said the same thing. Yeah, we're going to have Corey Curtis on here in just a few minutes. First off, the call on the field is a touchdown for Julio Jones. I saw nothing. And look, I realize the officials have access to things we don't, but I saw nothing that was conclusive to turn the original call on the field over. And number two, if that's the rule where apparently you can just toe tap everywhere else on the field, but if your toe comes down and then the heel comes down next to it or behind it, then all of a sudden the toe tap doesn't count. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. It should have been a touchdown for the Titans.
I haven't seen it. That's the thing. I have not seen that one. I remember a few years ago we had the problem with the completing the process where like you had to like carry the football over to the sideline and like have three drinks of Gatorade with the football tightly secured.
Hand it to the official.
Just idiotic stuff. Like, how does this league, which does so many things well, screw this up? And this one is new. I've been told, you know, the other people have seen something like this. I have not. And it just, to me, it's just stupid. If you can toe tap and then fall, you can fall into the third row of the stands and it's a touchdown, which is true, then how is it that you can toe tap, but then if your heel then later comes down, now you are now out? It's got to be changed. I'm sorry. This is what I need Corey Curtis to say in the next segment or else I'm going to scream at him, but not really scream. It'll be more like, Corey, I'm very upset with you. That's right. And I'd like to speak about this.
We've got a texture that says, Joe seriously sounds like a Bob Ross painting.
So let's have these little fluffy mountains over here.
That's right.
How about, I think, a couple of nice happy clouds here in the left corner. What do you think, folks?
Very nicely done from Rex Road. When we come back, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the dramatic comeback win yesterday for the Titans. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.